we extend a warm-hearted welcome to our radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
On Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ. On Easter, we celebrate Christ's resurrection. What do we celebrate on Pentecost? Today is Pentecost Sunday. We're going to talk about the celebration in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can know you as Savior and Lord because the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and doing that marvelous work within us as we live in your word. Grant, Lord Jesus, that those who do not know you as Savior and Lord may on this Pentecost be reminded of how much you love them. And then we pray that those of us who have walked with you through the years may be strengthened by this same Holy Spirit. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to do. Here ends the reading of the Word of God. Friends in Christ, if a cross-section of people in your town were asked to define the following holidays, what percentage would answer correctly? Christmas, Easter, Pentecost? In the little poll that we have conducted, and certainly it is not scientific, we found that about 75% of the people would be able to identify Christmas as the time when Jesus was born. About 50% would be able to say that he had been raised from the dead on Easter. But when it came to Pentecost, about 10% could define what happened on that particular holiday. Now, this poll obviously could be wrong, but I believe that it is correct that fewer people know what Pentecost is than Christmas and Easter. In one way, that's pretty sad, because this is where the Christian faith really had its beginning. Without Pentecost, there is no meaning to Christmas and Easter, for they really wouldn't have happened. Not at all. So Pentecost is vitally important. How do you define this third major festival of the church year? It is celebrated 50 days after Easter. Philip Schaff, The noted historical theologian of years gone by has said that Pentecost is the day when the Holy Spirit, who before only appeared sporadically, took up his permanent abode in humankind as the Spirit of truth and holiness. Or you might say, it's the day when the Holy Spirit began to speak regularly through God's word in the hearts of all people who heard the word. He makes known who Christ was and creates faith in people's hearts. Just as it is important to review the Christmas and Easter messages, so it is equally important to review the events of Pentecost. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, I would suggest that we turn to the second chapter of Acts and see really what did happen on that first Pentecost Sunday. If you take the first verse of the second chapter of Acts, you read, "When the day of Pentecost came." Now, Pentecost was not, in one sense of the word, a new festival. It was a Jewish holiday. It was only one day long, and it was a happy time. It was when people came, and many of them from far away, to celebrate the Feast of the Harvest. God had been good, and he had blessed them. It was also the time that they celebrated the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, at Mount Sinai. So they were all together there in Jerusalem, and the Bible goes on to say in this same chapter that they were all together in one place, meaning that the disciples, and there were about 120 of them who were together in one great big place. Maybe that was for security reasons. Maybe it was to encourage one another. They had seen Jesus ascend into heaven only 10 days before, and now they were wondering what was going to happen next, for he had said to them, "You remain here in Jerusalem. Something great will happen." Suddenly, it says that there was a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. It came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. With all of that commotion going on, with the roar of a wind, perhaps something like a tornado or a hurricane, the people were somewhat frightened. They didn't know what to say. So the disciples went out into the street, and here they saw these mystified individuals. The Holy Spirit had entered into the lives of the disciples, and they had become different people. The fear had gone from their being. The Peter who was afraid just a few days before when they asked, "Aren't you one of Jesus?" and answered, "No," is a person who without any fear at all stood up and began to preach to them. They now had an understanding of what the mission of the church was all about. It was very clear that when Jesus said, "You go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them and teaching them what they were to teach," they were to teach that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And while the disciples knew this, for they had been filled with the Holy Spirit, the others around about began to make fun of them. And some even went on to say they're drunk. You know, you have to ask the question, how do you explain the changes that Christ makes in people? I've often heard individuals say when a man or woman has been converted, they are so different. How do you explain it? They used to be so critical, so hard. They used to have no purpose in their lives whatsoever. And now it seems like everything has changed. How do you explain it? Well, that's what they were asking. How do you explain these changes in the disciples? Finally, Peter stood up and he began to preach. And if we could summarize the sermon, we could put it in these words, and he does it very well in verses 24 and 25 of that second chapter. He said, "Wicked men put Christ to death, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." All the time that Peter was preaching, The Holy Spirit was working. You know, that's what we always pray will happen when it comes to the Christian message on a given day, that as the person stands up there and proclaims the Word of God, he or she really understands well that they cannot convince anybody of what they are saying is to be the truth. But the prayer is that the Holy Spirit will take those words which are rooted in Scripture and bring these truths into living reality in the lives of individuals. Finally, when Peter is done and the Holy Spirit has done his work, the people began to ask, "What shall we do?" And then it is that Peter proclaims the gospel to them. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice there was an appeal there. There was an appeal. What shall we do? If you will do this, if you will repent of your sins, if you will trust Christ, he will forgive you, and he will restore you into fellowship with God. That's the gospel. And that day, not all of them repented. Not all of them believed. But 3,000 did. And the church was born. That's when it all began. And that church has been growing ever since that day where the gospel of Jesus Christ is heard. So we can say in another sense of the word that while that was the first Pentecost, there is a Pentecost today. Is it not true that people are gathered together? They have gone to their churches. They may be in their homes. They may be in their cars. They're listening to the word of God. Some of these people who are listening are Christians. Others are still seeking the Lord. They have not found that peace in Christ yet. They're not sure that he is the one who is the Savior of the world. But as the message is being preached, the Holy Spirit is working. And for some, then, it will be a conversion experience. And for others, it will be a strengthening experience to go into the community and to tell the story of Christ. The fear that was in the heart of that individual who had been a Christian, but was quite afraid to really tell others what the Savior meant to him or her, now suddenly is able to say, "You know what Jesus Christ has done for me? That he can do for you as well." Where this is not going on in the church or the congregation, that church is dying. Because there really is no message. We're told again and again in our day that mainline Protestantism, for example, is dying. I just received a lengthy email coming from New York State. And in it they were telling about how sad it is with some of the mainline churches there. I don't know what churches they refer to, and it's not for me to condemn or criticize anybody. But we know good and well that if the congregation is not proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, then very little is going to happen. Because the mission of the church is to tell the story of Jesus. And I would suggest to you people, and I speak to those of you who live right here in the heart of the country, where there are churches on every corner, but where they are getting smaller and smaller as far as attendance is concerned. Could it be that Christ is not held up, but that your church has become something else? You've got another message. And that other message, as good as it might be, is not going to draw people to the Savior. This must be said in love, but it must also be said in such a way that we really take an examination, make an examination of our churches, and see what we are really doing. The church cannot continue to exist as a glorified service club. Now, there are many kinds of ministries that we can have as far as the church is concerned, and those we need. We need ministries as far as the caring of the elderly are concerned. And so we build our homes for the aged. We have ministries for our children. And so we have these little preschools and places, nurseries, where moms and dads can leave their kids off and they can go to work. And I know we need these particular ministries, and I hope we continue to have them. But the only purpose for these ministries, really, as far as the Word of God is concerned, is to teach that child or to comfort that older person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If the child's ministry is not doing that, does it belong in the church? Could not the service club be doing it? If the elderly are not being cared for spiritually with the proclamation of the word, is there really any place for that ministry in the church? What I'm trying to say, and I know I'm making it very narrow, the basic, the primary mission of the church is to hold up Jesus. And then people are brought to him. Then all kinds of ministries, wonderful ministries, can flow from those people. For their hearts have been touched with the love of God and Jesus Christ. They live in relationship with him, and they want to help these people. But these ministries are a fruit of the faith and not the per se ministry of the church. Pentecost is where the mission of Christ Church started, and it continues from there. The God who has created us and the God who has redeemed us in Jesus Christ is a God who now comes and enters into our hearts through the Word and the sacrament and makes us the children of God forever. We have revealed the historical Pentecost, but every day is Pentecost for someone. And my prayer is that God will grant his saving work in the lives of many people today as a word is preached by sinful men and women, but the Holy Spirit is doing his work to bring others to know the Savior. Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit into our midst, and that through the word and sacrament that Spirit works to bring us to a conviction of our sins and creates faith in our hearts that we may truly say, I believe in the Lord Jesus. We realize, O God, that Luther said it well when he proclaimed that we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called us through the gospel. And so we pray today that wherever that gospel is being proclaimed, here at home in the United States and abroad, that men and women may hear the message of a God who loves them, that our lives may be turned around, and that we may serve you. In your name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May our hearts continue to be touched by the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Share the word of Christian Crusaders with a friend, a relative, or a neighbor. By making more people aware, we can increase our radio and internet ministry by sharing the word and spreading the light so that no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry. Gifts to our ministry are tax deductible and are used to spread the gospel message on radio broadcasts in 13 states across the nation and worldwide on the internet. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. And our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.